Our founder said that our rights come from the Creator, and the first of these rights is the right to life. But for the last half decade, abortion has undermined the right to life in America. How can we recapture or create a culture of life in this nation? The Thomas More Society is on the cutting edge of fighting for the right to life. Peter Breen is their vice president and senior counsel. He's also a former state legislator from Illinois. And this is a discussion on the battle over abortion, especially now that Roe has been overturned. It's up to the states. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Peter, it's so great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, I thank you, Jerry. This is a very important, very timely topic.
Well, first of all, let's ask you about this. Kansas, a couple weeks ago, had an initiative on the ballot, and the voters voted no. And the take-home message, according to many, especially the mainstream media, which is not favorable to any honest news about pro-life or whatever, they basically said, oh, see, the voters in Kansas voted against pro-life measures. They're, you know, in favor more of Roe and of abortion rights than, you know, what you pro-lifers pretend to be the case. So what are your thoughts on Kansas?
Well, and Kansas comes in the context of a you know, we're immediately post Dobbs. The national media just piled onto the pro-lifers, misrepresented what Dobbs does and doesn't do. You've got all of the left wing was totally geared up to pitch their news stories. And so, you know, it comes in that context. But as well, numerous other states have passed amendments that say our state constitution is neutral on the issue of abortion, just like the federal constitution we now recognize is. And so Kansas, they meant to put an amendment like that together. But if I read you the text of it, it was much more combative. It talked about rape and incest abortion cases and, you know, the hard cases that folks, you know, really, you know, sit there and go, well, you know, I mean, when you're looking for majorities of the American public or say the majority of the folks in Kansas, they to some extent, the way the amendment was drafted, we were leading with our chin, you know, take the toughest cases, put them right up front and ask the voters to bless it. And so that, you know, there really were some issues.
So it was poorly worded.
Yeah, correct. In an amendment vote where you'd say the amendment just needs to say the Kansas Constitution, is neutral on the issue of abortion. It's not pro-life. It's not pro-choice, period. That's what the amendment should say. And, those are similar words. And that's what it did in Tennessee and many other states that have had to do the same thing. The reason you've got to do that in some states is because the state Supreme Courts in these red pro-life states all of a sudden get taken over by raving liberals. And so they misread their state constitution. They read a right to abortion into that state constitution. And so the voters have to go in, the legislators and the voters have to go in and fix it. Now, I don't mean to overstate the case there, but what Kansas was attempting is pretty common, you know, to have to correct this issue. But the way it was worded was really terrible. So you need to word your amendments a little more carefully. And so I have no doubt that in another 2 or 4 years, the legislators in Kansas could take a similar amendment back to the voters, actually properly worded and without all of the current, you know, Sturm und Drang at the national level about abortion. And I'm assuming that the amendment would easily pass in Kansas just as it did in Tennessee and other places.
Okay, as far as America and the whole issue of pro-life, would you say that the majority of Americans favored Roe v. Wade or favored abortion rights, or is it a much more nuanced picture? Depends on exactly how you drill down on these things.
Right, and Jerry, I mean, when you ask folks, do you support Roe v. Wade, majorities will say, oh, I support Roe v. Wade, but they have no idea what Roe v. Wade actually did. And so if you ask them, well, do you support abortion up to the point of birth, they're going to say no. Do you support abortion after the first trimester? You know, 70%, 60, 70% say no. Do you support even abortion after a heartbeat? You know, most Americans would not support abortion after heartbeat.
That's early, right? I mean,
right.
An unborn child. Oh, okay, 6 weeks.
Yeah.
That's earlier than the Dobbs case, right? The Dobbs was a Mississippi law which said, okay, there will not be abortions after 15 weeks.
Right. And Jerry, I've seen plenty of polls that show the country is split right down the middle, 50-50, as to whether abortion should be prohibited other than in cases of rape, incest, life of the mother. So that's about 50-50. So if you imagine, If the country's split 50-50 at rape, incest, life of the mother, well, then the pro-life states are going to be better than 50-50. So they should all be able to legislate to that point at least, if not do a full, you know, full prohibition on abortion, you know, without the exceptions. And then, you know, then those, you know, the more middle of the road states are going to be a little bit of a fight. You know, you're going to have to figure out where do you want to set your abortion limits. And then the very blue states, you know, even in those states, when you poll the people, they don't support the kind of radical laws that their legislators are putting in. It's just, you know, either the, you know, one party, you know, the Democratic Party in this case, has too much control over the state, and then the most radical members of the party are in the legislature and set their abortion policy. So, you know, those are the issues that we're dealing with. I will tell you this, and folks, you know, people of faith, people of life need to know that right in the wake of Dobbs, the polling did shift very significantly. Where folks became – certain groups of people became much more pro-choice on abortion. And, you know, but we anticipate, well, after all of this passes, after the national media, you know, once they get on to the next thing, whatever the next thing is, you know, there's always a next thing that we're all supposed to be concerned about. You know, they get on to the next thing, folks will very likely revert back to the same abortion positions they've indicated for, you know, for decades, which is folks don't like late term. They want parental notice before abortions or parental consent. They want, you know, they really, you know, again, large majorities in favor of at least a heartbeat ban, 50-50 for a rape and incest ban nationally. So that's what we anticipate, that returning to normal. But I got to tell you, when you're trying to legislate or do amendments right in the teeth of the toughest public policy setting and the public polling setting, you know, you're not necessarily going to get great results and they're not indicative, though, of the long term gains that hopefully will be made by pro-life. I mean, we have the same situation in Indiana, just there. I've been there for the last 2 weeks. And, you know, the majorities in the Indiana legislature are on the record saying they would prohibit abortion with no exceptions, and supermajorities at rape and incest. And they, instead of doing just a nice, clean, strong pro-life bill, they riddled it with exceptions. They have loopholes galore. They let the abortion lobby come in and help draft the bill.
Oh, forget it.
So, yeah, I mean, it was a real mess. So we were able, you know, the wonderful people, the Right to Life folks in Indiana did a great job. I was glad to support them with legal help. You know, but it was an absolute mess. That we're going to take those lessons to the rest of the country. But it's again, we're in a little bit of a difficult spot right now. And I would anticipate that, you know, what the most dangerous words are, this time it's different. And look, folks are going to go back to their traditional abortion views, we assume. And I think it's a good assumption. And when that happens, then you're going to see the pro-life states get more pro-life. And hopefully we'll get a little more reason in the pro-choice states. And then the moderate states, we're going to fight it back and forth.
It's interesting, too. I remember seeing parts of a commercial that was opposed to the pro-life amendment in Kansas. And basically, the way they were touting it, they were essentially appealing to conservatives, in effect. In other words, they were saying, do you want the government to impose another government mandate over such a blah, blah, blah? You know, and it's like, no, I don't want the government to mandate that, especially in the wake of, you know, some of the vaccine controversies and so forth. They were taking advantage, I think, of people's, you know, blowback against some of the government overreach that we're seeing. Okay, so in effect, it was almost like a conservative victory, but not really, because I think that was deceptive, is bottom line.
We need to understand that the abortion lobby has been heavily funded recently. They've gotten a lot of money coming in, and they are going
post-ops.
But you know, they didn't fight quite as hard in the pro-life states as they are now doing, and they were not as sophisticated and, as you're pointing out, you know, deceptive even as they are now. And so with a lot more money, we are going to have to work harder and more intelligently in terms of the way we put the case to folks, the way that we frame our amendments. It leading up to this, I mean, who knows? Maybe last year, if that amendment had been on the Kansas ballot pre-Dobbs, you know, maybe folks would have said, well, I don't like the way this is worded, but I'm going to vote for it. We can't just expect that states where pro-life is in the lead, you can't just take those for granted anymore. Right. We have to fight hard. We need to be smart. We can't just let folks know, this is no time for amateurs to some extent. I mean, we have got to be very thorough, professional in our approach to saving these babies and legislating to save those babies, just as we would be for a tax policy or anything else.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so about half the country, half the different states have some restrictions on abortion, and there's another half that's more liberal, and some of them in the liberal states, such as California, New York, New Jersey, as I understand it, you can have abortions virtually up to the moment of birth. Are there other states that fit that category? And are there any restrictions in a state like that related to any kind of, you know, abortion restrictions at all?
Well, you've got a couple of states in the Midwest, Illinois, and then to some extent Minnesota are wow. of a similar nature.
Up to the moment of birth? Even?
Well, now, in Illinois, they did remove most of the restrictions on the third trimester abortions.
Oh,
and so
man.
Illinois is becoming, you know, the governor has said he wants to be the most pro-abortion state in the union in Illinois. And so we do have, you've got a real problem in the state of Illinois. Minnesota is just, it's a bit of a mixed bag because its Supreme Court had struck against pro-life laws in the years past, but that state is even mixed. I believe that, you know, the Republicans control the Senate, so it's pro-life Senate, oh, wow. pro-choice House, pro-choice governor. So Minnesota's a bit more of a mixed bag, but Illinois, probably in the middle of the country, is going to be your main. They're going to draw in more people looking for abortions in the middle of the country. And then when you go out to the West, you know, there's the whole of the West Coast is very, very liberal on abortion, along with New Mexico and some of the other Colorado,
yeah.
some of those other states.
Yeah. Okay. Now, as far as abortion as an election issue, I've heard some on the left say, oh, this is it. You know, we're going to mobilize and punish people. And, you know, we're going to have a blue wave this time around because of abortion.
Well, look, so here's the thing. You know, off-year elections are often about getting your supporters out for you. It's less about convincing the middle and more about getting your supporters out. And so for something like this, on the Democratic side, look, they're going to lose on inflation, economy, foreign policy, you know, all the Democrats are really up against it on most of the typical election issues. But what gets their base motivated, it's the environmental stuff. So that's why you saw an environmental bill just pass, guns and abortion, and in terms of restricting guns and allowing abortions. And so they are trying to hit some of these real wedge issues, very controversial issues, to gin up their base. They're not trying to convince moderates or middle. They're trying to get their turnout up on their base. So it makes sense for them to do that. That doesn't mean people are going to vote for this, and it doesn't mean that look, it may or may not win. You know, you want to make the election they're going to have to keep up the energy to make the election in November about guns and abortion, even though, you know, with every passing week, we're further and further away from the Dobbs decision. You know, for folks that live in blue states, none of them have been stopped from getting abortions. And so it's, you know, if you're a blue state voter, you're going to look around at the abortion issue and go, you know, do I really care that much that Alabama's not doing abortions or that Texas isn't doing abortions?
Yeah.
I'd imagine folks are going to vote on the issues that actually impact their pocketbooks and their lives. But, you know, again, if I'm on the other side, I'm pushing these issues to try to get my supporters ginned up, working for the election, and get them out to vote.
Okay, we have 20 seconds for a closing thought. ThomasMoreSociety.org. What about the Hyde Amendment? What about the issue of, okay, I'm those who say I'm pro-abortion, but don't make me pay for it with my tax dollars?
Absolutely. That is still in place at the federal level. Assuming the Republicans can get either the House or keep the Senate really close. So the hope is that we will be able to keep those protections. But those are on a knife's edge. President Biden, every Democrat, or nearly every Democrat has promised to roll back the Hyde Amendment and wow. make you use your tax dollars for abortions. So that's a tight issue. And in the blue states, that is becoming more and more of a thing that the other side is doing. So we've got to be vigilant on that front and work very hard to stop it.
Peter Breen, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry.